Lord, we pray that you'll open your words to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning. Amen. Please sit down. Now, both of the readings today speak of a struggle. Jacob wrestling all night with a mysterious stranger, and a widow pleading again and again before an unjust judge. These are stories of perseverance, of not letting go until blessing comes. They remind us that faith is not always calm and tidy, but sometimes it's a long wrestle in the dark. Jacob stands on the edge of a great reckoning. The next day he's going to meet his brother Esau, whom he cheated years before. And if you read between the lines in the chapter before, you can surmise that Jacob was absolutely scared stiff of what the reaction of Esau would be. He'd already sent his family on ahead, so he was on his own. And left on his own after his family had gone, we read that Jacob is wrestling with a man. But we aren't ever told who this man is. We're just left with the assumption that he's either God or a messenger from God. And certainly that was Jacob's analysis of the situation. And the whole event is shrouded in mystery, an event in the darkness without even an adequate description, whatever. But hidden in this story, there's some really important observations, I think, about how we cope with trauma in our lives. This story of Jacob wrestling tells us, however, that even in the darkness of suffering, even in the shadowy nature of emotional pain, God is still there with us. And if Jacob's analysis was right, and this man was God himself, then we know that God is with each one of us in the darkness of our emotional struggle. Now, one of my previous vicars, James Jones, wrote a book, Why Do People Suffer? And in it he wrote, when God the Father experienced the death of Jesus, his son, he himself plumbed the depths of tragedy. The death of Jesus on the cross was brutal and painful. But it's often overlooked that God the Father was also brokenhearted with grief as he was cut off from his son. So as we wrestle, God wrestles too. As we hurt, so God hurts too. Our struggle is his struggle, and his struggle is our struggle. We are united with God in the wrestling match. Three times in the midst of the struggle, there's a dialogue between the two of them. This is important because it reminds us that in the midst of our suffering and trauma, we're able to talk with God and he listens to us. That if we listen carefully, God is talking to us too. What matters most is that the conversation keeps going as long as we keep talking. The relationship stays alive. When we stop talking to God, then we stop listening for his voice. And it's then that the relationship crumbles and we're left alone in the darkness. So we keep talking. We keep listening for God, no matter how breathless we are, listening to keep the relationship alive. The struggle is real and relentless. Jacob fights, not exactly knowing who he's contending with, but he refuses to let go. I'll not let you go unless you bless me, he says. This is not rebellion, but true faith. The faith that clings to God, even in confusion and fear. In that struggle, Jacob is wounded. His hip is put out of joint. And that says something about the person he's wrestling with, just to touch the hip and dislocate it. Yet he emerges blessed with a new name, Israel, meaning one who strives with God. The limp becomes a mark of grace. Those who wrestle with God do not leave unchanged. The promise that comes to us from this story is that each one of us may know afresh the transforming and healing love of the God who protects and leads each one of us into a new future. So as we move on now, we're going to look at the parable of the widow and the judge. And we need to remember it is a parable. It didn't actually happen, but there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from it. Luke introduces the parable with his usual clarity. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. That's it in a whole sentence, the whole message. It's about perseverance in prayer and about faith that refuses to give up even when God seems silent. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on prayer. No matter how discouraging our life gets, no matter how long it seems to take God to answer our prayers, we should never give up on God. And I think that's what Jesus meant when he tells us to pray always. He wants us to pray always so that we do not lose heart. Jesus' prayer life was second to none. He prayed in the morning, at noon, at night. He prayed before his meals, giving thanks to God. He prayed in times of victory, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. He prayed in times of temptation and testing. Jesus prayed before he made big decisions. He prayed at a wedding. He prayed at a funeral. Jesus prayed for his disciples and those in need. He prayed at his baptism while he was hanging on the cross. Now, we live in a world that often tells us to give up quickly. I don't know about you, but one of my problems, and yes, I do have problems, is a lack of patience, as my wife will tell you regularly. I want things now, instant answers, instant results, instant satisfaction. But the life of faith doesn't always work like that. God's timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. He gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. And so Jesus gives us this story to encourage us, to keep us praying, keep trusting, keep hoping. Jesus introduces us to the illustration of the widow, one of the most powerless figures in the human world. Without a husband, she had no social standing, no voice in court, no one to defend her. Yet here she is turning up day after day pleading for justice. Grant me justice against my opponent. It's not hard to imagine her, worn down, maybe angry, maybe afraid, yet she refuses to stop. Her courage is striking. She doesn't have much power, but what she does have is persistence. She doesn't have connections, but she's got determination. This is faith in action. Not polite or passive, but fierce and enduring. Faith that wrestles. Faith that keeps knocking on heaven's door. Perhaps we've prayed like that. For healing, for a loved one, for peace in a situation that breaks our heart. And maybe it feels like nothing is happening. We've been praying for years for peace in the world. Revolving such conflicts seem impossible. Do we have peace with Gaza and Israel? Or is it just papering over the cracks? Only time will tell. I believe Jesus would say, don't stop. God does hear, so keep coming, keep praying. Then there's a judge. He's everything a judge should not be. Jesus says he neither feared God or respected people. He doesn't care about what's right or wrong. He's unmoved by compassion. Yet even he gives in simply to stop the widow from bothering him. Now the point is not that God is like this judge. Far from it. Jesus is drawing a contrast, not a comparison. Even an unjust, selfish judge can eventually give in. How much more will a loving, righteous and compassionate God respond to his children? God is not reluctant to bless us. He's not hard of hearing, but he works in ways that often takes time because he's shaping something deeper than just an answer to a request. He's forming faith. There's a mystery here that every believer wrestles with. Why does God sometimes delay? Why does God not answer straight away? Sometimes prayer changes circumstances. A door opens, healing comes, a reconciliation happens. Other times, prayer challenges us. It deepens our trust, softens our hearts, gives us eyes to see differently. One writer once said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. Maybe we've been praying for a particular solution to a particular problem, and our prayer has not been answered. The act of praying again and again through tears, through silence, draws us closer to the heart of God. And that, in the end, is what matters most. Now, I said a few weeks ago that on one day I was driving to Market Drayton, and the thought came into my mind that at some stage my granddaughter had a driving test. Didn't know when, but it just entered my mind. And I just sort of said as I was going along, Lord, just be with her whenever it will be. And she'd been waiting 6 months for this test. I probably shouldn't have been surprised that when later on that day we had a phone call from her to say that she'd passed, and passed with no minors. Not a coincidence, but a God incident. Jesus says God will grant justice to those chosen ones who cry to him day and night. That doesn't mean we must badger God endlessly. It means that we live in a position of ongoing trust, staying open, staying connected, staying faithful. Persistent prayer keeps our hopes alive. It guards us from cynicism. It says, even when I can't see God, I believe that God is at work. In a world full of despair and noise, that kind of prayer becomes a quiet rebellion, a declaration that love and justice will win in the end. The widow's persistence is a model for us as a church, for those who keep praying for peace, for justice, for renewal. Each time we pray, thy kingdom come, and we'll be praying that later on, we join the widow in the holy persistence. The parable ends with a searching question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's a question for us. Will Jesus find us praying, still hoping, still believing, or people who have given up because the waiting was too long? Faith, Jesus says, is not about having all the answers. It's about keeping our trust alive through the questions. It's about holding on when nothing makes sense. When we keep praying, we declare our faith that God's promises are true, even when the evidence is still hidden. And that is the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. The story reminds us that God honours perseverance. He hears every cry, holds every tear, and works through the silence. So when life feels unjust, when prayers seem unanswered, when faith seems small, don't lose heart. Keep praying, keep believing, keep holding on. For our God is not like the unjust God. He is faithful, righteous, and full of compassion. And those who cry to him day and night will surely see his justice, his mercy, his kingdom come. Faith is not simply believing certain things. It's holding on when everything else in us wants to let go. It's Jacob's hand gripping God through the darkness. It's the widow knocking on the door again and again. It's the parent praying for a child. The community longing for peace, the church crying out for renewal. God sometimes meets us in the struggle, not to defeat us, but to deepen us, to turn us from self-reliance to dependence, from fear to trust. Blessing often comes after a night of wrestling. So when prayer feels unanswered, when hope feels distant, hold on. Keep wrestling. Keep praying. Because the God who met Jacob in the dark and who heard the widow's cry is the same God who meets us in our persistence and blesses us, blesses those who will not let go. So may we, like Jacob, emerge from our struggles, changed by grace, and like the widow, keep trusting until the Lord returns. Let's pray. Faithful and loving God, you're the one who hears the cries of your people. Give us hearts that do not lose courage, faith that does not grow weary, and hope that endures through the long nights of waiting. Teach us to trust in your timing and to pray without ceasing, and to live as people who believe your kingdom will come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.